Welcome back to another episode of The Last Storm. My name is Mark. I'm back with Dave. We're pumped up, bro, because things are getting wild out there with the Thunder. People are starting to start believing again, bro. They're believing in the Oklahoma City Thunder. And we want to tell them one thing, bro. It is safe to put your trust in the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, you know, it's fun. It's fun right now because for 2 years, maybe 3 years, we've been feeling this impending doom of never-ending losses of sorts. Mm-hmm. You know, like we do really well the first half or do semi-well in the first half and then we just go down with injuries. It sucks. But now what we're watching with the Thunder, it gets you amped up. You're seeing the hope in the players and the organization and the fans, man. They're all so hyped right now. It's insane. And I'm just incredibly stoked to be part of this organization in the aspect of being able to share my Thunder love with all y'all.
Yeah, it's been really, really fun to watch this team grow little by little. A lot of people are already talking about writing a book about the Thunder, what it would look like, because this revamp of the Thunder is such a different thing. And a lot of people looked at it and said, well, Sam Presti, you know, he got three MVPs previously. There's no way he's going to be able to draft at that level again. And we looked at it and we said, well, we got Shea through a trade, so we don't need to draft that level again. But we're looking at it again and we're saying maybe Lightning struck twice, which would make you think this is not Lightning. This is the product of a mad scientist.
Well, and you asked me before we got on the podcast how many all-stars we have on this
team.
Yeah,
dude, and you blew my mind. You blew my mind.
Well, and I keep going back to this, man. Like, I don't want to ask this question. I don't want to answer this question. You know what I want to answer?
What?
How many MVPs we have on this team.
Okay.
Because I think Shea wins an MVP. I think J-Dub wins an MVP. I think Chet wins an MVP. And I think Josh Giddey wins an MVP.
Okay.
In his career. Because if you look at KD, you look at Russ, they both won MVPs in the, with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Okay. Did we ever have a coach of the year during that time?
Yeah, Scotty Brooks, I think he won it.
All right, so we got one coach of the year. Well, add Coach D to that list too. Because the reality of what we're having and what we're seeing right now is that if Josh Giddey can average 22, 23 points a game and a triple-double, are you telling me that he's not going to get an MVP? If you take out J-Dub and you put out him doing the insane, incredible things that he's going to be doing on defense and adding it to a 27 to 28 point, you know, a game, points per game night, I'm telling you right now, is he will be MVP. You're telling me that Shea's not going to average 35 points in his career at one point? That's an MVP caliber, right?
Right.
So Chet, on the other side, is if Chet somehow ends up averaging 26, 25 points, which I think is 100% doable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And gets a couple quadruple doubles in a season, guess what? He's going to be a frontliner for an MVP. So that's why we have to sit back and say, yeah, we can ask the question of how many all-stars we have, but it's more of a better question, a more of a renaissance, as you might say. The idea that we might seriously have four MVPs and a coach of the year on this team. Oh, and by the way, throw in there a six-man award too.
Right, and look, there's a lot of different ways we can look at this, bro. Let's talk, first of all, from the all-star perspective. I asked you the question I heard Sam Vecenie talking about, which is over, under,
Sam.
3.5 all-stars. He picked over, Andrew picked under, and you were saying the number really should have been
Wanker.
Five, dude. You said it should have been five because Coach Daigneault needs to be thrown in there, and there are four players that we already mentioned, and I think that that's a really good point I hadn't thought about. Coach Daigneault, if this team is leading the West in the record, then he will be an all-star coach. Why the fuck not, bro? And that may not take as long as everybody thinks.
Yeah, it's to me, the team. You know, like we can talk about the individual stuff, and I love talking about all-stars and MVPs, but it means nothing unless you have your MVP, or your teammate there. It means nothing. It means nothing to be able to go to the all-star game by yourself and sit by yourself and in the front row. Like, right?
Yeah.
Look at all the greats, man. Look at Michael Jordan. He had Scotty there with most times. He had Horace Grant. I mean, he had all these other guys. I don't remember if Horace Grant went there or not, but I'm pretty sure he did with the Bulls. But he always had other people around him, you know, and Shaq, Kobe. They always had people.
You know, and
they always had teammates.
You're making a good point, bro. And I want to bring it back a little bit to your MVP conversation too. You brought up Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. I think, like, when you think about it, a lot of people think you can only have one MVP because, you know, you can only have one Michael Jordan and you need a Scottie Pippen and you need to be able to build in, you know, the rest of the role players. But the reality is, I think a better analogy would be to think about the Spurs and the way they had multiple players win the finals MVP, right? It wasn't just, you know, same guy every year. You know, it was Duncan, it was Parker. I believe Kawhi won one. I think Ginobili either won one or deserved one. I don't know if he actually got one because I don't think he did. I think that Iguodala was the first guy to win it off the bench in a long time. But my point is, different guys stepped up really big and they were able to carry the team through the playoffs and into the finals. And so maybe MVPs all on the same team are like hard for people to think about, but finals MVPs just mean that that player took over for, you know, a season or a series or two series or, you know, the playoffs. And really, as these guys hit their primes at different points, we could really see them take over for 82 games. You know,
you're right.
One player comes into their own and then defenses shift and then it makes it so that now all of a sudden Ginobili has the best opportunity to go out there and score the most. And we got to be able to rely on him.
Yeah, and with Shea scoring 35, there's going to be points in his career, he's going to come out and score 28, right? And it's just not going to be what an efficient season like it was in prior seasons for him. And when that happens, that's when it's these other guys' chances to step up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's the most powerful thing about this team and the way that we go out there together is that on any given night, this is Shea's team. Any given night. Everybody knows that. But Shea has no problems recognizing that, hey, Josh is having a really good game getting into the hole, or J-Dub's getting his shot off, or Dort's just nailing that three, or Isaiah Joe's getting that. He has no problem taking second or third fiddle on this team. And I think that's what's so great about it is that you see that, so you know he knows how to do that, right? So when these other guys are peaking and these other guys are playing well, it's going to be like J-Dub's going off for 45 points in this game. Great. I'm going to get 20 assists.
Yeah.
And he does that. And that's what he'll do. And he'll go out there and dominate the game in a different way. And that's what it takes to be a player like that. And that just means that sometimes you're not going to have a 35-point season, you know, point-point game season. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because most likely, if he's getting a 35-point game season, then it's probably because we have quite a few injuries. And if that's the case, then we're probably not going to be in that top five echelon.
Right.
But if Shea's averaging 30 to 32 points a game, you know for a fact that we're, you know, functioning on all ends of the court, on everybody. They're all getting the ball passed around. If Shea's getting 28 points and he's being incredibly efficient, that just means that more people are playing better around him. So they have to share the ball. And that's not a knock on Shea. That's just proof that when you have a superstar like Kobe or Michael or Shaq, like you have these guys that can put up 30 points a game easy, right? But you don't necessarily need that player to do that because you have all these other guys around them. So you get them rest. You get them an opportunity to play in a 7-game series without getting injured.
Right. And you build off of each other's experiences and you find yourself improved and better. And if you look at what Shea is going to be asked to do in the summertime for his improvement, you know, he'll work on his shot. He'll work on some of his scoring elements. He's always going to come back a better player that way. But in the end, like what he's going to be really working on is playmaking out of double teams and understanding how to recognize where the defense is coming in, what pass to make. He's going to try to become a better passer and a better playmaker. Those are the types of incremental improvements that you start seeing where a player, like, they become a better player, but their scoring average ticks down. Like you're saying, 35 a night isn't necessarily a good thing for the longevity of a career. But early in this team's rise, getting 35 a night from Shea could actually be, you know, the best thing for him and the team. We hope over time the best thing for everybody is that he settles in somewhere closer to 28 a night, starts lifting
28 to 30.
Right, like
we're good with that.
28's that number, bro. Whenever you look at somebody who's an MVP candidate, it's about getting to at least, you know, 26, 28, 30, that range, being a performer on both ends, you know, finding ways to get rebounds and assists at a high level. And once you get to that 28, 8, and 8, that's like what I look at, like LeBron's, like, average. Every year he could be MVP. So if you go out and do those things, then you've got it.
Well, and it's, you're so on the money on that point, because you're looking at James Harden with the Houston Rockets. You're looking at I mean, so many other, you know, Damian Lillard, mm-hmm. you know, guard mentality scores, mm-hmm. right? And all they can do out there is they score, but they have nobody else around them. Mm-hmm. You know, like you see them and you're like, man, like, why can't that player learn to work with somebody else? Or why can't that player learn to get along with somebody else? Because that player could be so great, you know? And it's rough, man. Like, it's rough looking at the NBA because there's so many of these teams that just don't have a team around them. And you're looking at Bradley Beal. You're looking at all these other guys that you're like, man, this would be fun if they had actually a team around them, that they could actually do something. And it sucks. But guess what? Those guys don't necessarily want to give up their average points per game.
Right.
Because Bradley Beal on a championship caliber team is going to be averaging much less points a game than he is there. So for me, I look at that and I just look at this team and I'm saying, that's the difference with this team in Oklahoma City,
right.
is because all of them are willing to give up whatever it takes for one thing. Fucking ring, bro.
Yeah, that's right.
And they all know that.
Yep.
They all know that this is the only way to get to the championship. The only way is by sacrificing your game and the way that you play as an individual for team basketball.
That's the success we're looking for. That's what's worth fighting for. And we appreciate you for joining us.